National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the National Council of Catholic Men, presents the Catholic Hour. Today's program will consist of music by a unit of the Paulist Choristers and an address by Monsignor Fulton J. Sheen. A group of the Paulist Choristers open the Catholic Hour with the beautiful hymn of St. Thomas Aquinas, Adoro Te Devote. Musical setting is by Giulio Boss. Monsignor Fulton J. Sheen of the Catholic University of America will now deliver the eighth in his series of 17 addresses on the crises in Christendom. His discourse today is entitled, The Christian Order and Education. I present Monsignor Sheen.
Friends, there are three points we should like to make in today's broadcast. First, it is a sound American principle that democracy cannot function without religion and morality. Secondly, American democracy is not presently making provision for religion and morality. Hence, thirdly, the necessity of restoring religious education in order to preserve democracy. First, democracy cannot survive without religion and morality. This is implied in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, which is at the same time a declaration of dependence. For it states that our rights have come to us from God and therefore are unalienable. If our rights come to us from God as rays from the sun, does it not follow that only on condition that we preserve our dependence on God will we preserve our independence from tyranny? As George Washington, whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow, said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And further support comes from Calvin Coolidge, who in 1928 stated, unless our people are thoroughly instructed in the great truths of religion, they are not fitted to understand our institutions or to provide them with adequate support. President Roosevelt, sensing the same need of religion for democracy, said in 1940, practical steps should be taken to make more available to children and youth through education the resources of religion as an important factor in the democratic way of life and in the development of personal and social integrity. Religion and morality, therefore, are essential to democracy. Now that brings us to our second point. Namely, democracy at the present time is not making provision in education for religion and morality. About the only group to whom modern religion caters is the group that neither practices nor believes in any religion. As Walter Lippmann said, modern education is based on a denial that it is necessary or useful or desirable for the schools and colleges to transmit from generation to generation the religious and classical culture of the Western world. And Dr. Hutchins, the president of the University of Chicago, in June 1940, expressed exactly the same lament. In order to believe in democracy, he said, we must believe that there is a distinction between the true and false, the good and bad, and the right and wrong. Are we prepared to defend these principles? Of course we are not. For over 40 years and more, our intellectual leaders have been telling us that they are not true. Unquote. The White House conference of 1940 stated that of the 30 million children in the United States, between the ages of 5 and 17, 16 million receive no religious education whatsoever. It was this growing irreligious element which worried and prompted President Roosevelt in 1940 to say, we are concerned about the children who are outside the reach of religious influences and are denied help in attaining faith in an ordered universe and in the fatherhood of God. Nicholas Murray Butler, president of Columbia University, commenting upon the fact that the pagan element alone in our population is given the benefit of tax money, said, even the formal prayer that opens each session of the United States Senate and each session of the House of Representatives, and which accompanies each inauguration of the President of the United States, would not be permitted in a tax-supported school. That's from Dr. Butler. If this condition of ignoring religion and morality existed in less important matters, it would have been remedied long ago. If, for example, it had been discovered that the geography of Russia was left out of our schools, oh, how quickly it would be inserted. Why is nothing done about that which our tradition says is the indispensable condition of democracy? And that brings us now to our third point. The necessity of restoring religious education in order to preserve democracy. Democracy demands that education satisfy not only the atheist, but also the believer in God. For that reason, those interested in the preservation of democracy have suggested that some assistance be given those schools, Episcopalian, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Jewish, and others, who are aiding democracy by teaching religion. As Dr. Hutchins put it, the states may, if they choose, assist pupils to attend the schools of their choice. Since we want all American children to get as good an education as they can, since we know that some children will not voluntarily attend public schools, and since we are not prepared to compel them to do so, it is in the public interest to give states permission to use federal grants to help them go to the schools they will attend and to make these schools as good as possible. What possible objection is there to this idea? To this democratic idea that equal opportunities for education be given to all along religious and cultural lines? Well, there's one objection which is rather common. It is this. Education should be neutral. And by neutral, the intelligentsia mean that religion should not be taught. Now, this is a fallacy. The fact is, there is no such thing as neutral education. That is to say, an education without morality and religion. Religion and morality are not related to education like raisins to a cake, but like a soul to a body. There can be a cake without raisins, but there cannot be a man without a soul. If education does not inculcate a moral outlook, it will inculcate a materialist, or a communist, or a fascist, or a Nazi outlook. Neutrality is absolutely impossible in education. By the mere fact that religious and moral training is neglected, non-religious, non-moral, and in consequence, anti-religious and anti-moral ideology is developed. No indoctrination of religion really means indoctrination of doubt and unbelief. Religion is either included or excluded in education. Hence, a school from which religion is excluded is bound to become irreligious. Now, there is a second objection against extending democracy in education to those who believe in God and morality, and it is this. America was founded on the principle of the separation of the church and the state. This is absolutely true. And we have no desire to change this principle. But our country was not founded on the principle of the separation of religion and the state. Our founding fathers intended that no particular religion should be the national religion, but they never intended that the state should be devoid of religion. It never entered their minds that we would grow up to be a near religious nation. Nor did they ever think that education would one day be divorced from God and His commandments. This is evident from the fact that no signer of the Declaration of Independence was educated in a non-religious school. For a century, the United States did not have a president who was educated in a non-religious school. It is true that the First Amendment of the Constitution forbade the establishment of any religion as a national religion. But that was because there was an established religion in 10 of the 13 colonies. the Congregational religion in 3, and the Episcopalian in 7. But the disestablishment of a particular church was not the disestablishment of religion. The fact is that religious schools, Methodist, Presbyterian, Jewish, Episcopalian, Catholic, are in the tradition of true, sound Americanism. It is the non-religious schools that are outside of that glorious tradition. But why do we insist so much on religious education? Because we are entering into an era of history wherein the grave threat to man's freedom will be from the omnipotent state. And once a nation ceases to believe, it begins to obey. As William Penn said, man must be governed by God, or he will be ruled by tyrants. We are coming into the days of omnipotence, where we will live either under the omnipotence of God or squirm under the omnipotence of the state. And godless education has no power to restrain a godless state. For example, when Hitler came into power in 1933, the very first to capitulate were the professors. But the one force which did not surrender was religion, as the Catholic bishops and Pastor Niemöller bear witness. It was the professors who allowed the independent administration of the universities to be abolished. The universities offering no objection to state-elected rectors and deans who were forced upon them by the Nazis. It was indeed a bitter disappointment for all who considered the German universities the defenders of rights and justice. But when one considers that specialization had been carried to such an extreme, and the unified philosophy of life so universally abandoned, it was no surprise that there was no one idea left around which the universities could rally. Given the crises in any country in the world, in which totalitarianism threatens the liberty of the citizens, and the first to capitulate will be the non-religious educators. How could it be otherwise? For without a faith, how can they oppose a faith? It will be only those schools that recognize the soul and its creator that will challenge the state which attempts to absorb the soul. Why, therefore, I ask you, impose excessive burdens on those schools which are the safeguard of American freedom and democracy? There's no reason in the world why any school in the United States which teaches religion and morality should be penalized for being patriotic. Nor why it should bear all the expenses of giving to the nation the two supports without which, as George Washington told us, a nation cannot endure. It is not fair. It is not democratic to cater only to the non-religious in education. A child who goes to a religious school may walk on the streets maintained by public funds, but in many instances in the United States, he may not ride to school in a bus that is operated at public expense. The state will build a chapel for citizens when they get into a penitentiary. How about building a few schools to prevent them from getting into a penitentiary? We are preparing an army of at least 7.5 million men to defend Christian liberty and justice on the battlefields. How about telling them something about that Christian liberty before we give them a gun? A government of the people, for the people, and by the people should respect the will of those who believe in religion and morality, even though they be in the minority. For democracy is not the custodian of majority privileges. It is the preserver of minority rights. Would it not be a good idea for America to cease talking about the right to worship and to begin talking about the duty to worship? We may need God's help and need it very badly before this war is over. And it's not too soon to begin asking for it now. For 150 years, we have been celebrating our Bill of Rights. How about teaching the young our Bill of Duties? The first 10 amendments to the Constitution are our Bill of Rights. The 10 commandments of God are our Bill of Duties. And to this end, we beg the Jews and the Protestants and Catholics and the radio audience to spend an hour a day in prayer and meditation for victory and for peace, and that our democracy may be preserved by a return to God. And to anyone who desires a prayer book suitable for wartime, write to us and we will send it to you free. Given another generation of godless education, and we will be in danger of tyranny. Given religion and morality in education, and we will be the most potent government influence for peace in the world. Then will America be great. And we will love it, not because it is great, but it will be great because we love it in the name of God. And that makes anything great. Not very long ago, a Nazi soldier in occupied France took his French wife and expectant mother into a hospital. Seeing a crucifix on the wall, the Nazi ordered the nun to take it down. She refused. He ordered her again, saying, "I want no child of mine ever to look upon the image of Christ." So the nun, under threat, took it down. And the father's wish was fulfilled to the letter. The child was born blind. And God grant that we may never deny to our American children the right to gaze upon the image of the Savior of the world. God love you. Lord Jesus Christ, who in thy mercy heareth the prayers of sinners, pour forth, we beseech thee, all grace and blessing upon our country and its citizens. We pray in particular for the President, for our Congress, for all our soldiers, for all who defend us in ships, whether on the seas or in the skies, for all who are suffering the hardships of war. We pray for all who are in peril or in danger. Bring us all after the troubles of this life into the haven of peace, and reunite us all together forever, O dear Lord, in thy glorious heavenly kingdom.
The address you have just heard was entitled The Christian Order and Education and was delivered by Monsignor Fulton J. Sheen of the Catholic University of America. This was the eighth in Monsignor Sheen's series of 17 addresses on the crisis in Christendom. A copy of today's talk, as well as the booklet referred to by Monsignor Sheen, The Shield of Faith, may be obtained by writing to the National Council of Catholic Men, Washington, D.C., or to the station to which you are now listening. Incidentally, we're glad to announce that these booklets are now being mailed out as rapidly as possible to the thousands who have requested them.
Holy Spirit, come now.
Next Sunday at this time, Monsignor Sheen will deliver another address in this series entitled, On Whose Side Are We? Your announcer is John Patrick Costello. This program has been presented by the National Broadcasting Company and the independent radio stations associated with the NBC network, in cooperation with the National Council of Catholic Men, and came to you from New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.